Stephen A. Leahy. You heard him on Home Sweet Home Chicago, and then I forced him to take like a little intermission break. Sorry, Stephen. How are you, my friend? You all good? You gotta turn up that dial. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Very good. I love that. Did you go run some laps in between the shows here?
I didn't. I was just reading, because that's what I like to do.
You're a reader, yes. You're like studious. Anything interesting reading?
What a good guy.
Mike Leonard's a great guy.
What a good guy. Knows his stuff. That's why I love to talk about that. And you were talking about the litigator versus trial.
Oh, yeah, I brought that up.
I love that.
Is that a thing? He said that there's some friction there, but it's probably polite.
Well, you know, I'm neither really, right? Because I go to court. I do some bankruptcy stuff, and I do, you know, we don't really have trials, although sometimes you have hearings. Mm-hmm. But it is, I like to interview attorneys myself, and that's the question I always ask them, right? And you get a good response. Mm. For him, when I was talking to him about it, and are you a trial attorney? Then he went on. As he did today, mm-hmm. to explain what that is,
yeah.
and why there is a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a criminal guy. He does a lot of criminal work.
For sure.
I asked a personal injury lawyer that same question, and he would say, well, he said, I'm a trial attorney, and they do a lot of trials, but they're also litigators in the sense that they're trying to negotiate a settlement.
Right.
So many of those settle.
Right.
And so they're kind of both.
You want someone that can do both.
Yes,
if need
absolutely.
Be,
absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But settling, there's nothing wrong in settling. In fact, especially in personal injury cases.
Yeah.
If it can help you move on with your
exactly.
life, then that's a great thing.
Well, of course, the better trial attorney you are as a personal injury attorney, the better.
Because they don't want to go.
The better you're going to do for your client.
You should do it like I've always thought this for a personal injury lawyer. Let's say they have one case at trial. They win a huge settlement, or not a settlement, they win a huge yeah. case to the jury. It should be like George Costanza and go, I'm out, I'm on a high note, and then try and never try a case again and just use that as your weapon.
I have some very good friends who are personal injury attorneys, and he says every so often you got to go get another case,
yep.
right? Because you got to prove that you're not going to live on the laurels of a
right.
bad case. And so you may be next, insurance company.
Yeah.
I'm coming to, you know, we'll
That's
go
true.
To court against you next.
Interesting.
And they don't want you to, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We had a couple questions already popping in for you, Stephen
A.
Leahy. Remind people who you are and what you do.
I am attorney Stephen Leahy. I help people. I help business owners with taxes. When they have trouble, I like to help businesses with trouble and then overcome that trouble and then put you in a position to pay less taxes. Mm-hmm. That's what my goal is.
We had a question that is, and I'll get to the whole thing in a minute, but they talk about, does this new law you talked about on the last show, can you remind our listeners and me, what new law are you talking about as a terms to for sole proprietorship or Schedule C?
Actually, it's not a sole proprietor, right? It's a beneficial ownership report, information report, where the government wants you to report who owns what business. It's the Corporate Transparency Act.
Okay.
That's what it's called. And again, this is the government wants you, if you own a business, a LLC or a
S-Corp
or even a C-Corp, right? Because you're kind of hidden,
mm-hmm.
right? And they don't want you to be hidden. They want you to come out and say who owns that business.
Right.
So, they couch it on the problem of laundering money, which is what they always use.
Well, what's the problem with saying I own this business?
Well, there's no real problem
okay.
on it. I mean, it's just another requirement, another compliance thing. And what I've, you know, talked to most people, they don't even know that they have to do it. And the penalty could be $500
Whoa.
A day.
Wait, is this the IRS asking for you to
It's
say
not
this?
The IRS,
I didn't
right?
think so.
This is the financial criminal.
Is this why, and this is getting a little bit in the weeds here, but I own an S-Corp, and Stephen has helped me out with his team doing great work there. Is this why my credit card company, for my business credit card, said, I need you to tell me who the owner is of this business?
No, but that's part of it, though, right? Because as a credit card company,
I mean, this popped up out of the blue a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Is that when you're for your own credit card?
My business credit card.
Okay, for your business credit card.
And they said, we need to know who, we need to talk to you on the phone. I need to hear what your tax ID number is. And I want to know who you are and what your name is.
That's interesting.
I don't know if that's related to this new law.
It's not, because this is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, it's called. They do a lot of work for overseas. For instance, if you have overseas bank accounts, you're to report those. They call it the FBAR. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
No.
right? So if you have,
I let you handle all that stuff.
If you have overseas bank accounts, you have to report them every year.
Yeah, that makes sense,
right? And you have to tell the IRS about them.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And
I love this little give and take that we have. Most of these things make sense to me that they do, but I see your point that the more regulations you put up for people, the more traps you could potentially fall in innocently for not doing it. You're going to get taxed on it. You're going to get fined on it, and that's what you don't like.
That's exactly it. And again, it sounds innocuous enough,
right?
Well, of course they want to know who owns that business. It seems logical, but here we are. We're over 200-year-old country. Why didn't we have to do that before? What was the emergency that somehow now we have to do this?
Well, I don't know. The exchange of currencies can happen with the press of a button on my phone, whereas before I had to take the gold.
That's not new, though, John. That's not new.
Right. I love these arguments we get. It's a classic big government versus small government session.
Well, I wonder what side I'm on.
I wonder. Anyways, the question was from the 815. Sorry, my dog groomer is the sole owner with no employees, files a Schedule C for the business. I think that applies to her. Can you repeat the name of the site that you have to register at?
It's FinCEN, right? FinCEN.gov.
And when do I have to?
If you had an existing business before the first of the year, you have till the end of the year, this year, to file this.
So I got to do this?
Yes, you do too. Now I'm helping my clients do it, so you should be getting
something. So I should be getting an email soon?
Yes, about us helping you do that. It doesn't take a long time. It's actually pretty simple to do, but it is, you know, it's like everything else. It's got to be done.
It's one more step, and they can fine you if you don't, and there we go.
Again, and like people don't even know. Now she's talking about a dog groomer. If it's a sole proprietor, they know who you are. Yeah. Right, you don't have to report that.
But you're of a C-S Corp, they may not.
Okay. Again, because you're under a different entity with some name that they don't know who owns it.
We got to take a break here, then the news. Where can people reach you at, Stephen? We'll talk more afterwards.
Okay, call me at 312-664-6649 or get on my email newsletter list at fightbacknow.com.
Fightbacknow.com. More with Stephen A. Leahy. Questions coming in now. Stephen A. Leahy, we need to have the podcast behind the show. It's called Me and You Politely Disagreeing About Politics.
Pretty much.
Politely, though, is the key, though,
it
right?
It is polite, man. Because I like you, John.
I like you, too. And I think that's the thing. We can have arguments about big government versus small government. Of course, as it relates to taxes, I think a lot of people would take your side on that issue, no doubt about that.
I think I've lost that argument. So.
No. I guess what I just mean is that, and this is a total aside.
I don't mean to you. I mean, look at our government. It ain't a small government.
Yeah, you lost that argument in 1918.
That's right.
Anyways, I just, I love political discussions, real good ones based on issues, size of government, things like that. And I know we are fraught in this divide right now that's so polarized. I just feel like most people, though, still can have conversations of disagreement like you and I can, respectfully, most do. And it drives me crazy that our politicians at the top have riled us up. Because when I worked in Washington, Steve, did you know I worked in Washington?
No, I worked for the Senate.
I did not know. A couple years. And I would see John Boehner, Speaker of the House, come into the bar right off the Senate, I forget the name of it, shake hands, have beers with Democrat politicians, and talk. And then what drove me crazy was then not Boehner and not the ones he was talking about, other politicians would then go on microphones and really start to hate each other and really start to make personal.
Yeah.
What's wrong with them? And what really annoyed me is all of those people can have beers together and they're actually fine. A lot of this is a show that they put on to rile the rest of us up. And it drives me crazy that there's people that can't have Thanksgiving dinner together because they disagree politically, yet all the politicians can go have beers together.
I agree with you about the families being divided. And we've all seen it. Right?
1,000%. You know, and friends being divided.
That you can't. That you, if you don't believe what I believe, all 100%, somehow you're my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And very few people you're going to find agree with you 100%, right?
Including the people in your own party.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In your own family, right?
In your own family, in your own life. And that's why it makes me so mad seeing when they go in front of microphones, they rile us up, and then they get to go sleep and have a good day. And, you know, they're usually in good positions, and the rest of us are left. Okay, I went on a quick aside there. Let's get down to the business at hand. Sorry.
I think it's interesting. That's an interesting talk. Yeah. And it has to do with taxes in the sense that, you know, tax policy is such a driving force in all policy, right? We talk about this Corporate Transparency Act. And, you know, someone just asked a question about condo association.
Well, we're going to get to it right now, in fact. But before I get to Aggie, just really one more time, it's called the Federal Corporate Transparency Act. It essentially means if you have an S-Corp or if you have a LLC, the federal government wants you to essentially say, I am the owner of this, register yourself with them so that they can then ping their records all in one. And we have some questions about who that applies to or not. Let's go to Aggie. Aggie, you're on WGN. Is it Aggie?
Yes.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, why do I have to fill it out since I don't own the condo? I obviously only own my unit. I don't own the whole complex.
So you're on a condo board, and you're wondering why you are also under this rule.
Right, and then I don't understand why our condo has to pay the government $249 to file this form.
It costs $250 to file this
form?
The
answer is not for most people.
Yes,
I don't know about that. Maybe they use somebody who charged them.
Oh, maybe they, yeah.
Because if you go to the FinCEN.gov, FinCEN.gov, that you can go there and file this for free. And now I don't know about condos because that's not really my area. So I'm learning this right when you were in between here, when I saw that the condo board, we looked it up.
I have an answer for you. And Dave Schluter just got back to me. Dave Schluter, who does a lot of real estate law.
Friend of mine.
Friend of all of ours. Yes. Exactly. He's on Your Money Matters. He's on this show. He's on David Hochberg's show, sometimes with Wendy Snyder. And Dave said, I said, did you hear about this Federal Corporate Transparency Act as it relates to condo board members? And he said, yes, it's all entities, actually. $500 fine per day starting on the 1st of January, 2025. And I read this website saying that it applies to all community associations. Current board members of these associations are considered beneficial owners under the law. Consequently, all board members must provide FinCEN with detailed personal information, including their legal name, date of birth, residential address, and a copy of a valid, unexpired, government-issued identification. So, Aggie, I don't know why you had to pay $250. I don't know if you guys had someone help you out with that. Maybe it's different for condo associations. Maybe there is a fee associated with it. But, Aggie, I don't have a... Hold on. I had you off, so go back on. Start your sentence over.
The management company just sent me the email yesterday, and then I'm supposed to be getting a form, and it's coming from someplace called PineappleHOA.com.
Oh, that seems like the management company went through a firm to do this for you and is upcharging you on that, whereas maybe you guys probably could have done it on your own. I don't have an answer for you on that, Aggie, unfortunately. I would raise that question with your property management company.
I can tell you,
company.
I've filled out for my own companies. I've gone on and filled out my stuff, so I've done it. And it didn't cost anything.
Yeah, I'm just saying property managers have a unique way of charging you for things that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
And don't get David Hochberg started on that, because I heard him railing last week about something like that, and I literally looked up at WGN to find out where the defibrillators were in the building and suggest that one be closer to David Hochberg anytime he talks about property managers. So, Aggie, I don't have a specific answer as to why. I would ask your property management company why they may be charging you for something that you could just go online and do yourself. My guess is that they are trying to cover their butts and maybe get a fee out of you for doing it for you.
Or they're just making sure it gets done.
That is also fair, too. They don't want to be out of compliance, so they're rounding things up. I hope $250 is not nothing.
No,
for sure.
That.
Anyway, so that seems crazy to me. I feel like no one knows about this. You tell me that you told me this earlier in a show, and I must have forgotten it. Someone wanted to know, though, did I hear you correctly that if I file as a sole proprietor, I do not have to do the filing?
That's correct.
Because
they already know who you are.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So it's really, again, it's transparency to say who owns this company, who's getting the interest, and so they can track it about who's, I think it's for income, make sure that you're reporting all your income
but like,
and all that.
So I have an S-Corp, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. When I made this thing, I had to file the documents of who, it's a one-person ownership, I'm 100% shareholder in this, here's my title, and the state has this information. That's not enough? The feds want it?
Well, again, I think how is the Fed going to get it from the state? They have to go ask them for the state. And you could change that too, right? You can sell some portion of your company.
Right.
Now you'd have to report that again on the next year. But then the government's going back all the time and trying to keep up after you. This way it's one place. You know, I can see why. We talked a little bit about this, John, you and I. I can understand why. I just think it's another, again, It's another step. It's another compliance step that you must do.
I'm coming over on your side
people,
on this, though.
That people kind of, they, you know, it's very difficult to run your own business.
Yes.
And they're making it more so, not less, right? We should be trying to help people run their own business, but we seem to be putting blocks in the way. And that's where I kind of come off and say, you know, we should try to make it easier, not harder.
It is hard. It is not. I thought it would be easy peasy to form an S-corp. It's not impossible, but you need professional help, I feel like, to do it.
But it's not even that. It's all the things that come
afterward,
after
that's
that.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I was going to say, like, setting it up was enough of a, oh, God, I got to hire someone for this. And then doing my taxes the first year, at first I was like, I could probably figure this out. And then I was like, absolutely not. And then I called you, and you guys helped me out, thank God. But your team was asking me so many questions that I hadn't been thinking about for the first year of running my business that I had to go back in time to sort through all these things that I wish I would have known in the first hand. And you probably talk to 1,000 people a day like that.
I do. And, you know, it really gets me. Again, people don't like people that come to see me and they have an LLC because everybody tells you, you should have an LLC.
Right.
And I say, well, did you pay your tax last year, the franchise? No. Well, then you're not in good standing, right? It's like, so they start these businesses because someone told them they should, but they no one ever explained to them what's expected of you.
Right. Do you have unemployment insurance? Do you have workers' compensation? Exactly. I don't need workers' comp. I have a small business that's ready to talking on a microphone. Nope. In Illinois, you do.
Yeah.
One person. Got to pay it. Okay. Yeah. Didn't know that. Yeah. I was about to say there's no handbook to how to do this. There probably is.
I'm sure there's probably.
Yeah. Try
to find it.
There's probably a book that tells me how to do
it. I'm sure the Secretary of State has one.
Yeah, like, but anyways.
They tell you what to do.
This is a long way of saying that this is what you help people with.
It's so, because it gets complicated, and it gets more complicated every year.
Right.
Okay, so for instance, let's talk about 1099s, right?
Okay.
If you're a company and you've had someone do some work for you, do you have to send them a 1099? And if you do, have you been? And did you know that if you don't, that there's fines and penalties for not doing that?
Right, because that person has to report their income, and the government wants to know what they're supposed to report.
So a lot of smaller business owners, they don't even know that they have to do that. And so they don't, right? And so you're leaving yourself open to these penalties that you're not even aware of. And that's really, that's what I'm, you know, and we talked about this now, this beneficial ownership information report. Who knows about that?
Yeah.
And when you tell about $500 a day, or there's criminal, it could be a criminal.
2 years in jail.
2 years in jail and $10,000 fine.
I don't think it'll get to that.
I don't think so either.
But it's a mechanism they have.
It's a club.
It's a club they've got. Man, you're bringing me around to your side here, Stephen A. Leahy. Look at this discussion. No, and it's an interesting thing. Like, when I started an S-Corp, I was like, okay, and I get paid by these people, that's fine. No, sorry. I mean, I think it's still the right move, but I now have to pay myself a reasonable wage for the job I'm doing. I have to now pay quarterly taxes to the state. I have to pay every week payroll taxes for myself. It's complicated.
Yes.
But this is what I like about what you guys do, is it's not I just come to you in January and say, do my taxes for X amount of dollars. It's more of a, I don't know how else to say it, subscription-based. Yeah.
Now, this is why, because and it's becoming more so every year, right? There's more involved, and that's why we came up with this, because we know that you're gonna have interaction with the IRS more than just April or October.
All year long,
you're gonna have it all year long, and they're gonna say, well, wait a minute, there was a 1099 filed in your name and you didn't report it. Maybe you never got it. It's not your fault.
Happened to me,
but it's gonna happen where the IRS is gonna send to you and say, hey, this is what you said. And this is what we found. Tell us why we're wrong.
Right.
Because it's not, you know, in criminal law, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
In the IRS,
it's the opposite.
You're guilty until you prove otherwise.
It's a good way to put it. So like and this has happened to me, I got a letter from the IRS. I didn't know what it means. I sent it to your TV, tell me what it means, because I'm not paying you once in the year. I pay you every month.
That's right.
And businesses do that. And it ends up saving them in the long run just to always be in compliance.
Exactly. And that's so important, right? That's part of being in business.
Yeah, for sure. What else do you want people to know today, Stephen A. Leahy?
Well, we know that the October 15th deadline's coming up, and that's the extension deadline. And I'd like people to understand that. And I think a lot of tax preparers or accountants don't tell their clients that you know that you have to pay your taxes in April whether you file an extension or not.
Right.
And I'm surprised, I'm often shocked at how many people don't know that. Right. And so they get their tax bill and their accountant doesn't show them that there's penalties involved in that tax bill because you didn't pay on time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a failure to pay penalty and people don't even realize it because they just say, how much do I owe? Another thing I'd like to, next time you file your tax return, look at how much you're paying in taxes. Almost to the person, when I say, how much did you pay in taxes last year? They'll say, well, I got $2,000 refund, mm-hmm. or I had to pay $1,000 on April. Well, what did you, look at your tax bill and see what your taxes really are. I don't think people don't really realize how much they're paying. I was talking to a friend of mine and he said, oh, I can't believe that the guy's paying that much in taxes. And of course, they're both clients of mine. So I say, well, look at your own taxes. He's like, oh, wow. He was paying $200,000 in taxes a year.
Wow.
And yeah, he makes a pretty good living.
Right.
But still, he didn't even realize he was paying $200,000. And that's not, we're not even talking about the state of Illinois, right? And now you're paying the state of Illinois too. So that all adds up. And so if you could start trimming that back a little bit, and that takes effort and time and effort to do.
For sure. Give us your number and website one more time. We'll have a couple more minutes after the break, but I just want to make sure we get it.
Okay, call me. If you have a question, call me, 312-664-6649. Now, when I tell people to call me, that means it's free, right? I'm going to take your call and I'm going to answer your question. It would be terrible of me to give you my number and then tell you to call me and then I won't take your call.
Right, no.
Or get on my, if you own a business, get on my email newsletter, and that's fightbacknow.com. Doesn't cost anything. It's free.
Fightbacknow.com. Let's take a break. We'll get a couple more of your questions in. Stephen A. Leahy across from me, and we've got a couple more minutes here to talk about tax law. And you really were kind of blowing the whistle about this Federal Corporate Transparency Act, which was passed last year, went into effect this year, which gives everyone a year. So till January 1st, 2025, if you own a business and you file as an S-Corp or an LLC, they want you to essentially register yourself. And you might be saying, I'm already registered with the state. I run this business. I file my taxes. I clearly have an S-Corp because I file it along with my personal taxes. Or you do, you know what I'm saying, Stephen? Mm-hmm. But they want you to do it. And then there's this new wrinkle that we've just both discovered together that condo board members, HOA members, the people that are on these boards are also required to fill it out. The 847, I'm on a condo board. I haven't heard anything about this. Please repeat the site again. What, first of all, what is the website to do this?
It's FinCEN, which is the financial, it's the criminal, financial criminal report. Here, let me look at
FinCEN.gov.
FinCEN.gov is correct.
FinCEN.gov. It's
S-E-N.
Oh.
S-E-N.
FinCEN.gov. Okay, and you need to register. Now, my question is, if you're on a condo board, and you may not have the answer to this, I'm going to might have to follow up more with Dave Schluter.
I'm going to have to look into this more, because I'm sure it's more than just condo boards then, too.
Oh, no, right? That's what Dave said, all associations.
Community, yep. And what's that? That's maybe a company or association of businesses,
right?
You know, small business association or hairdressers or all of these different associations.
If you're a board member on it, and someone said, why? So what have you found is the best explanation as why they say you have to do this?
You know, it's got to be about cash, right? That somehow they're trying to make sure that the money that's going in is reported correctly. Now, I might be wrong. I don't know why.
Well, I could see why a condo association may be filing as an LLC or as an S Corp, right?
Well, they're an association.
They're an association.
They could be a
501c3. There's some tax form they have to send to the government.
Exactly.
So what they want to probably know is who's running the money there, who's financially responsible at the end of the day. Even though you as a board member don't collect income from the other residents, since you can manage the money in their mind. I'm not saying I agree with this.
It's true.
They're saying you can manage this money. You're ultimately responsible for this tax form. We want to know who you are, where you live.
So the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, that's where you're going to report this. This is also where, if you have a foreign bank account, you have to report it to them every year, too. So it's the same organization. So if you have a bank account, now this happens a lot of when people are coming from a different country and they have a bank account in a different country, and they come here, they don't realize. You got to report that to the IRS.
Yes, 100%. No. FinCEN. FinCEN.gov. You probably said that. I said S.
Yeah.
FinCEN, FinCEN.gov, and do it before the end of the year.
Just clear really it quickly. Up. Yep. If you had a business before the year started, you have till the end of the year. If you started the business this year, you only had 90 days from the time that you started.
Oh, my goodness. So yes. Some people might be late.
So if you start a business next year, you have 90 days to report.
Wow. Okay. FinCEN.gov, CEN. Mm-hmm. Can people call you if they got questions about
this? Absolutely, absolutely. 312-664-6649. I'd be happy to help you with this.
Yeah, and then be a part of his team because you do a lot of great work. Yeah. I'm not just saying that, Steve. Your team is on it.
Fightbacknow.com.
You don't want to say thank you for the compliment I gave you?
First, I had to tell people to go. Then I would say, thanks so much, John.
Oh, that's great. Steven, as always, we'll talk soon, all right?
Okay, great.